Today is the we celebrate is Passover and our Palm Sunday, I should say. But it was good to be here this morning. Hopefully, that you feel the same. It's good to be here as well, and to be in the house of the Lord. And I continue to ponder through the news, I just continue to see things nothing but just depressing out there, isn't it? Just seems to be depressing with everything that's going on. And we just see that almost like the temperature's getting up, you know, things are heating up a little bit all over. And then we take some special Sundays out of the year and we celebrate them. And one of those is coming up here on Easter, which is next Sunday, and Palm Sunday this morning. That's how we celebrate it. And we see that there's just a difference in the world. There is a difference in the world. And so I want to share with you guys today a little bit about why we're here today. You know, why is Jesus so important? Why him? Why not someone else? Why am I assembled here? Why do we sing songs about him? And why can't we just live the way the world does? Why can't we just live that way and do whatever I want to do and be whatever I want to be and feel the way that I want to feel and go with, live off of my emotions and follow the way that everybody else does? Why don't I do that? I will tell you that there are a lot of people doing that. There are a lot of people doing that. And we try not to do that, but we find ourselves tailing in that direction. So we struggle with that, those battles and temptations and that lifestyle. We struggle with that. But we that are believers, we have something to, we've come to a place in our life at one time where we found out that we couldn't live that way no more. So how many of y'all know that it is good to be a Christian? How many of y'all know that it is good to really have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Not that the church is great, the church buildings are great, and some say, but it is never going to surpass, never going to trump your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can change churches, but you can't change God's. Amen? All right? So, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 3 for a moment. But while you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Father, Lord, we ask this morning that your heart, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would open up our hearts, Lord, that we may be open to your spirit and what you would speak to us today. So we ask, Lord, our eyes and ears be open and we'll be able to see what you'd have for us so we might grow up, Lord, in the way that you called us to. But that today that we might understand how important that you truly are to not only us, but to the world. So we ask, Lord, that you be with us during this moment, that your name may be preached to the people, for it's in Christ's name, amen. There's a man named Nicodemus who asked, what must I do to be saved? All those kind of things. There's a little bit of a conversation. He came to Jesus at night. There's some things there that he said. And Jesus says, you must be born of water and spirit. And if you didn't, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want to come over to verse 14. There's a piece here that we need to understand. While you're over to verse 14, I do want to share with you something out of Hebrews. It's going to make some... We are struggling with what we call sin. Ever since that failure in the Garden of Eden, we've all been born. The Bible says all come short of the glory of God. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. The difference, are you a sinner lost or a sinner saved by grace? We are all sinners. We all have thoughts in our minds that we have a hard time taking captive over. We have a problem sometimes with self-control. We have a problem with defeating or winning and in these areas of temptation. And we struggle with these things in this world. And we struggle with them so much in the American culture today, in the American church, that we are, even many of us are allowing things to happen in our homes and in our churches and in our communities that would not have been allowed 40, 50 years ago. But that still does not give us a free pass to do what we need to do just because times are getting that way. So we find out in Hebrews, just for a moment, chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified by blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no sacrifice for sin. So, in the Old Testament, these sins were covered by the blood of these animals and these sacrifices. And so, we come to this place here that it says in John chapter 3, verse 16, many of you know it, for God so loved the world. Now, God loves people. This is creation. Everything He created, but with man, he breathed in him a living spirit. He put something in there. So we are human beings created by God's hand and God's purposes, for God's purposes. And so he's given it, but he loves us. It isn't that he made us to be robots or trees or animals, but he made us different than everything else that he created. We are human beings after his own, after himself, and he loves us. Have you ever been in a relationship where you love the person, but they don't love you back? Think about that for a minute. That you love someone, but they don't love you back. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, his only one, his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gives us the key to everlasting life. You got to go through his son. Now you can know a lot of church scripture or a lot of Bible scriptures. You can go to a lot of church services, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. And how all that worked was right back here in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son, a man, must be lifted up. There was a time when the Hebrews rebelled. They were with Moses and they were just sinning. They just rebelled against God. They were complaining. They didn't like it. God allowed snakes to come in, vipers to come in to bite them. And basically, God had them to build up this bronze-like serpent thing. And they were lifted up in the air. And if you would look at it, you could be healed. He said, just like that, he says, so the Son of Man, which is Jesus, must be also lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Once again, eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ. You got to believe and you got to look at him. You got to look at him. You got to look at him. And when you look at him, you find yourself being a sinner. And he's going to be lifted up. We got to look at him, but we also got to believe. We got to believe. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it in verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved. It was through Jesus Christ that we are saved. Don't get too relaxed in your salvation. The Bible says that we're to work out our salvation. Amen? Which means that don't take your salvation for granted. If you truly understand salvation, you would know how precious it really is. You would understand the value of it, that you are different now. Once you come to know Christ, you are different than everyone else in the world that has not come to know Christ, which means that you are saved, that there is a place for you in God's world. But here's the problem. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Once again, it's pointing back to Jesus. It's pointing back to Jesus. The cross always points back to Jesus. I'm asking you a question. Are you pointing people to Jesus? Because listen, we can get very, very comfortable in a church. And listen, I have a Bible. It's an old NIV Thompson Bible. And it's a great Bible of mine. It's my first one when I was called to preach. I still have it. But in the back of it, it's not a glory thing to me, but it's an encouraging thing to me. I can pull in the back of it and look at the people that God allowed me to share the gospel with who received the gospel. So God used me, just used me as a vessel to share the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ that these people ended up becoming Christians. They ended up getting saved. It's in the very back of my Bible. But it's also in the front of my Bible. And the Lord allowed me to share the gospel with a lot of people and led a lot of people to Christ in that time. Now that I'm pastoring, I've not led as many people to the Bible or to the Lord. And why is that? I struggle with that sometimes, but here it is. But the Bible also says that preachers are to teach the people to share the gospel. Did you hear what I just said? To teach you to share the gospel, that you'd go out there and you would share the good news. And here's my thing. If we were doing that, we would be full today. I'm just saying. I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm just saying. Because the people out there are lost. They need it to be lifted up, and Jesus was already lifted up, and we need to show them that listen, if you're sick and you're sinning, you need to look over here. Look over in this direction, because I know, because I was in your place. We're not doing that anymore. Churches are too busy and worried about how many people they got in the church house, how good their band can be. All the other things that are necessary to have services, but they're not necessary to have salvation. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people that are separated, going to go to hell, because they've got caught up into the church work and not caught up in Jesus. And he says, if you don't do it this way, then you're condemned already. You are condemned already. There's nothing you can do. Once you stand before God, you've lived out your life, you give an account, and you'll stand there, and you'll stand there alone with your sins. And you will be guilty, and you will be condemned. And he says, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is why most sins, I'm not saying all sins, but you know what? Nothing great happens after midnight. If you get a call after midnight, it's not going to be good unless somebody's having a baby and you're anticipating that. Other than that, it's not going to be a good call, especially when you look at your cell phone and it's one of your sons or one of your daughters or one of your grandkids or one of your family members, and you know it's not going to be good. Because the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So God sees all that we've done. And we have an opportunity to share what we have in the Lord. We have an opportunity to share what we have in the Lord. I want to quickly move over to something that Paul wrote to Timothy. I want to stop in two places, and then we're going to end over in 1 John for a moment. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1, it says this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the truth, the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. Do you get that? 2 Timothy chapter 4, he comes over. So this is the second letter. This is important. This is the second letter that Paul writes to Timothy. And he's telling him, you got to take heed, you got to listen. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says, number one, I want you to preach the word. I want you to preach the word. Not agendas. But preach the word. He said, be ready in season and out of season. When the crowds are big and people are receiving it, preach it. When they shrink, you just keep on preaching it. He says, convince, rebuke. We don't do rebuking much in churches anymore. Y'all don't mind. I got to get a drink of water. Either I'm getting too excited about this message or my voice is dripping on me. But anyway, we don't rebuke much anymore because we feel like we offend. Let me tell you, the Bible offends when you're sinning. Amen? The Bible offends when you're sinning. And that's okay, right? Because it's making, there's a difference. There's a difference. God's way, the world's way. But he says, convince and rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure the affliction. Did you hear that? Endure the affliction. There's a little pain in ministry. There's a little pain in the walk. There's a little suffering from time to time walking in the footsteps of Christian, being a Christian. But he also says, do the work of an evangelist. That's what he was. And he says, fulfill your ministry. I'm assuming by so many people that I know, I'm not judging, but maybe I am, that there's going to be a lot of people standing before God and have not fulfilled their ministry that God called them to. Do you understand that? You don't get a second chance coming back down here and trying again. I need a redo. I need a do-over. We don't get that. Now, where I want to stand here today and share with you is in 1 John. So turn over your Bibles to 1 John. I really want to hit this thing up today that if you that Jesus Christ is got to be number one in your life. He's got to be the it. He's got to be the go-to. He's got to be center of who you are. You can throw all the other books aside. You can't throw this one aside. You can throw all the other things that we do, but you cannot throw the main thing aside. And that is that Jesus died, He rose again, He is the Savior of the world. But there's a problem. We are people who sin. We are people who sin. We are people who can't get it together. So God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that we can try to get it together with Him. And there's only one way to get it together, and that is through Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. When you're on your own, you found out that you made the worst decisions in your life. Those were times that you became prodigals when you started drifting away. This is one of those cut right down the middle thing. This message is one of these black and white messages. It's either one way or the other. It is not about opinion. It's about what the scriptures say. And it's very, John is very straightforward. John is he's a great, great apostle. And this is a great piece, but it's all about God. Verse 5 of 1 John 1, he says this, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." We cannot blame God on anything, any temptations that we have. We can't blame God on any darkness in the world. Listen, the things that happen in the world are because of the sins that we have done. With the garden, the sin in the garden, just almost like the whole thing just shifted. Everything just shifted. And that's not the way it was supposed to be, but that's the way man become. We become sinners. And in God there is no darkness. Not one spot of darkness. I'm going to ask you real quickly. Then why do we walk away from God when we know that we should be walking toward God? Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and many people say they have fellowship with God. Amen? Many people say they have fellowship with God. And he says this, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We could be become a liar and we are not practicing what we should know. I'm telling you, we are ruining our lives by not allowing God to be a part of our lives. We need to remember there is no darkness in Jesus Christ. Not one spot. Not one sin. He lived a perfect life. And He calls us to follow His example. But He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Listen, when you're walking with Jesus, do you not know that your relationship, when you're walking the way God wants you to walk and living the way God wants you to live, do you know that your relationship is much stronger with Jesus Christ? Is it not? Is it not better when you're doing what God's called you to do? That you're living that righteous life, that Christ-like life that He's called you to do? That things are just better? And even if something bad happens, you're able to handle it a lot better and you go to Christ much sooner? So He says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship with one another and our relationships are even better. But He also says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. So that whole piece there about being lifted up and there's no forgiveness without the remission of sin. There's no forgiveness. That the whole thing about the shedding of the blood. It is Jesus Christ when He come up on that cross and He shed His blood. That was for the whole world. But if the world doesn't want it, it's still offered to you. It's still offered to you. It is still offered to you. Jump over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He says this, and He Himself is the sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We need to love better. We need to love better. We need to love people that don't look like us. And I'm not talking about poor people or people in our community. I'm talking about people that are black. I'm talking about people that have towels, things, turbans around their head. I'm telling you, can you love them? You say you do. But can you love them? Can you love the homosexual? Not to love what they do, but I need to learn how to love them. Because God said He loved the whole world. And this sacrifice on the cross was for all of them. All of us. Because your sins ain't no better, no worse than somebody else's. We're all filled with that darkness somewhat in us that we have a tendency to want to pull off to the left and commit that sin. But there's something different. We need to know that we're blessed because we have the Holy Spirit. They don't have that. We have that that whispers in our ears, that gives us that nudge like a parent that says, don't do that. I love you. Don't go there. I know where that goes. We've got 23 million people that's already done that. Sin is what we have. We'll come back to that. But if we walk in the light, we have that fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Did you hear that? All sin. And that's available for anyone that comes to Christ. Everyone that comes to Christ. The Bible says there's a time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for our country to be at war. But we need to love our enemies. We need to love more. I know in our hearts, and I have a soldier's heart as well, retaliation is, you need to defend yourself, but retaliation sometimes isn't always the best thing. Listen to me now. You can have your own opinion, but I'm going to tell you my opinion. Retaliation is, I understand that. But I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't retaliate. Did you hear what I just said? If He retaliated, we wouldn't be assembled here today. He would have called down those 10,000 angels and would have took them boys out and all the Roman soldiers, and He would have walked off. None of that would have been happening. So thank God that He is a God of peace. But don't get me wrong, there is a time when His wrath will come. You better need to be one of His children. But He says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all need to be able to stand in front of the mirror and know this, that we are a sinner. I hope you can say that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I don't always have the best thoughts. I don't always say the right thing. But doesn't that always mean if I don't say the right thing, does that always mean it's sin? No, but I'll tell you what, I know I say things that are sinful. I know I've thought things that are sinful. I've done things that are sinful. But thank God to Jesus Christ that I've asked Him and He's forgiven me of my sins. And this Holy Spirit reminds me and convicts my heart not to repeat those sins. But also not to look at my neighbor and judge them harshly, but to love them. But also to say, hey, sometimes I need to speak up and say, hey, man, I love you, and I'm going to tell you this because I love you. And sometimes they're not going to like that. And they're going to walk away, and they're going to turn their back on you. But I want to tell you something. When they turn their back on you, let me tell you something. They may walk me away from you, but I'm telling you what. If they are a child of God, God's going with them, and He's going to chastise them. He's going to convict their heart, and He's going to do a work on them. So don't you give up on them, because God's not giving up on them. So we're all sinners. If we say we not sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But He gives us this way. He gives us a way to work it out. He tells us a how to. I love how John puts it. There's a how to deal with this. And it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. I've got to confess it. Some of you, some of us are just as stubborn as a mule in the field. Everybody else has done something, but my sins are not that bad because you just don't understand. And then you stand there and you self, listen, have you had that argument where you self-justify it? Nobody's even around, but you're already talking about how you're defending it, just in case somebody asks you about it? He says, if we confess our sins, that means you've got to confess them before God. Does that mean, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins? Hey, there's times we're going to say that, but listen, you know when you've done something, specifically you know. And you know it because the Holy Spirit has brought it up to you. You know it because the Holy Spirit has convicted you of it. So when you confess it, you need to tell the Lord, you need to tell Jesus, Lord, this is where I'm at. And you need to confess it means you need to apologize for it. You need to ask Jesus to take it away, not just take it away, but you need to repent. As he says, we need to repent of it, which means to turn away. We need to deal with it. We committed the sin. For some of it seems like the fun thing at the time. It was the fun thing. But our heart convicted us. The Holy Spirit convicted us. Now I know that I can run to Jesus. This is what people do. I'm going to run to Jesus and I'm going to just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Help me have a great day. Amen. I get in my car and I go to work. When you confess your sins before God, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take more than just 30 seconds. There might be a little bit of tears rolling up. There might be a little bit of other things going on. But I also know this. Do you notice when you confess your sins? Listen to me. When you begin to confess your sins, you know that conversation. Your prayer begins to change through that time of confessing. Can anybody admit to that? Okay, when you do that, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you during your time of confession. Because you know why? Because when you're really confessing, you're really talking to God. Not just shouting out words of like, Lord Jesus, give me a great day today. But when you're confessing, you're getting on the bat phone. I mean, you're on it. You're on it. You got something to say. I'm going to tell you something. A phone call, when you get on the phone, it's not just a one-way call. It is also, there's a talkie, right? There's a receiver. I mean, you got to listen. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you when you confess your sins. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. This is what He says He'll do. He is faithful, and He is just to forgive us our sins. He will forgive you of your sins, and because you committed it, He says this, I'm also going to clean you up. If you really confessed it, and you say, oh, I was out with last night, and He says, I'm not going to leave. You just don't run up there and go through the drive-thru and say, here's my ticket, Lord. Here's what I did. Stamp it. Oh, great. Paid for. And drive out. Listen, the second part is just as important as the first part. He says, if you confess it, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, right? But He also says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we think we just want to go in there and we've got to wash our hands of it. You see, it's kind of like the pilot thing. I cleanse myself from it, it's all on you. He thought that was going to work. We do the same thing Pilate does. We do a real quick washing. Okay, I cleanse myself from it, it's all on you people now. And that's what we do. He says, no, we're going to do the whole thing. God's going to do the whole thing. Takes you what, a minute and a half? Y'all gonna check me on my cleansing now. Sometimes we go restroom, we're gonna wash our hands, we've been outside, whatever, we're gonna wash it for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. Depends on how dirty it is, 3 minutes, extra soap. That's what we kind of do. We wanna get in. But God said, I'm gonna clean you from all righteousness. All of it. So we're going to spend a little bit more time than that because that didn't happen just because you think that it happened. It was already moving in your mind because you got into this and this. And usually it's a domino effect. It just didn't usually just happen. It was some of that stuff was coming up. So there's going to be a cleansing from all the sin and all that unrighteousness. And He says this, if we say in verse 10 that we have not sinned, because we don't like the confession piece. We don't like that piece because we have to be vulnerable. We have to be real. I'm going to tell you, you can't go to God and say, God, forgive me my sin, and you committed adultery, and you think that, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin, you think that's going to work? That ain't gonna work. You think that you lied to your parents? Listen to me. You lied to your parents. I ain't talking about just young people. I'm talking about, you know what? If your parents are 70, 75, and you're like my age, if you lie to your parents and you're still living no matter what age they, you think just, Lord, forgive me my sins, that's going to work? You got to say it. You got to say it. You got to really say it. Before we move into the next piece, I really want you to think about this. If you are a person who does not apologize to people very well, who has a hard time apologizing, you need to really watch that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, which we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. There's a total black and white piece here. If we say we've not sinned, we make God a liar, listen, and his word is not in us, listen, we need to remember. We all have sin that we need to deal with. But if you become, if you are a child of God, and you have become, and you've, as Jesus was lifted up, and somebody shared that story about Jesus being lifted up and being the sacrifice for all mankind, and you're a sinner, and you need to be saved by grace, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you've received that, and you said, yes, I need that in my life, I need to be saved, and you've had that salvation experience, you follow Christ, an example, and you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you now then start partaking of communion. Listen, you are a part of the family of God. Amen? So we need to act like it. But there's going to be times we're going to sin. And because we know what we have in Christ, we need to be running back to Jesus and asking if we need to confess it. Not as a lost person, but as a saved person. Because when you know him as a saved person, a saved person, you begin to understand what Father really means. You begin to understand what Savior really means. You should understand what salvation means. You also remember that you know that this is not your home. Lost people don't get that. That you being with God and his kingdom and his heaven, that's going to be your home. You understand the promises of God. And so there's a world out there that doesn't know him. There's a world out there that's filled with a bunch of prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. The world is filled with those who are backsliding Christians, which some of us have been have participated and understand backslidden and backsliding. You know, when you ask a Christian if they've ever backslidden, they said that they did. You know that's one of their most sinful times as a Christian in their life. They always have some things that they do not like to share with people because that's part of a backslidden lifestyle. Having Jesus, but living almost in the fact of denying Jesus. Living that other life. But thank God we can come to him. And we can have this promise if we confess if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just with any father, the Bible says that God disciplines those whom he loves. I've disciplined my sons. You've disciplined, your parents have disciplined yours, your children. And it's no fun. But when it's all said and done, there's usually a moment of a hug or an eye lock that says, you know what, I respect you, I love you. But nothing is sweeter than when one comes back to you and says this, man, Dad, I kind of blew it. I messed up. That's how we should come to God, huh? Just being who you are. Being real. But saying what you did confess it in the way that we're supposed to. You see that cross? That had to be done. Jesus being on the cross had to be done. I love the idea that, you know, the crosses with Jesus on them, that's great. But I always look at that as unfinished. It's a reminder that Jesus being on the cross, I get it. But I love looking at crosses that are empty, like that one, because it tells me that it's finished. He was doing the work on the cross. But he's not there no more. But the power of that moment is still an opportunity for us today to come to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you don't get to heaven by church membership. You don't get to heaven by learning a whole bunch of scriptures. You don't get to heaven by doing a whole bunch of things or having a great last name of a bunch of preachers or whatever. You don't get to heaven because your mom was a great Christian. You don't get to heaven because your dad was a great Christian. You don't get to heaven because everybody else in your family is a Christian. You have to make that determination on your own. You've got to make a decision. You've got to decide who you're going to serve. And if you don't serve Jesus, it says here, you've already been condemned. Now, if we know the truth today, and the Bible says, you know, truth sets you free. If you know the truth and you've been set free and you have salvation, then why are we not sharing the gospel? Maybe is it that because we have sin in our life, it's unconfessed before God. Maybe we have things in our life. Maybe we've lost touch with it. Maybe we've kind of taken the whole salvation thing for granted. And maybe your life just isn't right with God. I'm not saying, listen, when I shared the gospel with people on the back of my book, back of my Bible back here, and I put their names on here, it wasn't for me to have, oh, look how many. It wasn't that. Just because I love people. And I love Jesus more. But Jesus tells me to love people. Wasn't that I knew all how to do it. I just led people to Jesus. I didn't have a specific way. It's different, but all came to the same place. You're a sinner. You need Jesus. I beg you, don't get caught up in all the church stuff. Don't get caught up in all that. Get caught up in Jesus. You're here because of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit speak to you. Where is your life right now with Jesus Christ? If you are a sinner saved by grace, speak to him as your Savior. If you are not, then you know in your heart that you need salvation, then today is the day of salvation for you, that you might not become a sinner lost, but a sinner now saved. So let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you that opportunity to come down if you'd like. I want to remind you, when you're talking to lost people act like lost people. They just do. Jesus says, come as you are. Come all to me who are heavy. Whatever it is upon your heart this morning, I'll tell you, you need to deal with it. And the only way to deal with it is with the Lord. Now I know I've been in your shoes before. I've stood back in that pew and I felt the Holy Spirit moving on me and I didn't move. I felt it. But I'll tell you what, this is just a moment that God gives to us. But you know, when I came in the next Sunday morning, the next time I came to church, God's still touching that heart. If you haven't been on your knees in a while, maybe it's time to try to, if you can. Not everybody can do that. And for me, as a man of my house, I plead for it for my whole family. I pray for my whole family, even whether they're in my home or not. Because I still, you know, it's kind of the old godfather thing. My father has passed away, so I feel like I'm the godfather of my family. And I got to take all responsibility and spiritual. And God's going to look at me. Am I leading my family the way that God wants me to lead? And I think my father would give me this advice. Lead them in the ways of the Lord, Jimmy. Lead them in the ways of the Lord, for there is no other way. I know my dad that well. And I'm trying to lead my family, and they always do the right thing. I don't always do the right thing, but I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to speak words of wisdom, godly wisdom into them. Not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. And when they sin, I'm going to come to them. I'm going to come with them with a loving heart, with an openness, with some mercy. I'm going to embrace them, but not until we get that conversation talked out. So I stand for my family. And I pray for my family. And even if one's in sin, I'm going to pray for that one in sin. And when I say mine, then I got my family that opens up, that extends out to other family members. There's a great responsibility as being a spiritual leader of your home, man. There's a great responsibility. We don't give up. We don't just say, oh, it's about me. But also I look at it and say, listen, this is a church. We are a church family. So there's another responsibility as a spiritual leader of a church. A lot of responsibility being a man of God, a woman of God, when it deals with sin. And some people are so stubborn, they won't do it. But that's where you as a Christian got to get tough. You got to be faithful in praying for them. I got family members that go to church and try to have a